I'm talking to them. They heard your words, Third, Kanpar snapped. Control yourself. I will not let you turn this judgment into a circus, as you did before.
Tensun smiled. Only a Khandra would consider a mild argument to be a circus. Tensun didn't turn away from the first generation's alcoves, however.
Now, Kanpar said, we...
You,
Tensun bellowed, causing Kanpar to sputter again.
First generation, how long will you sit in your comfortable home, pretending that the world above doesn't exist? You think that if you ignore the problems, they won't affect you? Or is it that you've stopped believing in your own teachings? The days of mist have come. The endless ash now falls. The earth shakes and trembles. You can condemn me, but you must not ignore me. The world will soon die. If you want people, in all of their forms, to survive, you must act. You must be ready, for you may soon need to command our people to accept the resolution.
The room fell silent. Several of the shadows above shuffled, as if discomfited, though Khandra generally didn't react in such a way. It was too disorderly. Then a voice, soft, scratchy, and very tired, spoke from above.
Proceed, Kanpar.
The comment was so unexpected that several members of the audience actually gasped. The first generation never spoke in the presence of lessers. Tensun wasn't awed. He'd seen them and talked with them before they'd grown too superior to deal with anyone but the seconds. No, he wasn't awed. He was just disappointed.
My faith in you was misplaced, he said, mostly to himself. I should not have returned.
Tensun of the third generation,
Kanpar said, standing up straight, crystalline true body sparkling as he pointed.
You have been sentenced to the ritual imprisonment of Changar. You will be beaten to the point of fracture, then bricked into a pit with only one hole for your daily slop. You will remain there for 10 generations. Only after that will you be executed by starvation. Know that your greatest sin was that of rebellion. If you had not strayed from the advice and wisdom of this council, you would never have thought it right to break the first contract. Because of you, the trust has been endangered, as has every Khandra of every generation.
Kanpar let the pronouncement ring in the chamber. Tensun sat quietly on his haunches. Kanpar had obviously expected some kind of response from him, but Tensun gave none. Finally, Kanpar gestured to the guards beside Tensun, who hefted their fearsome hammers.
You know, Kanpar, Tensun said, I learned a few important things while wearing these bones a year ago.
Kanpar gestured again. The guards raised their weapons.
It's something I had never paused to consider, Tensun said. Humans, if you think about it, just aren't built for speed. Dogs, however, are.
The hammers fell. Tensun leaped forward. The powerful dog's haunches launched him into motion. Tensun was a member of the third generation. Nobody had been eating and emulating bodies as long as he had, and he knew how to pack muscles into a body. In addition, he had spent a year wearing the bones of a wolfhound, being forced to try to keep up with his mistborn master. He'd undergone what had effectively been a year of training by one of the most talented allomancers the world had ever known. On top of that, a body mass that had translated from a scrawny human made quite a substantial wolfhound. This, combined with his skill in crafting bodies, meant that when Tensun jumped, he jumped. His guards cried out in shock as Tensun sprang away, his leap taking him at least 10 feet across the room. He hit the ground running, but didn't head for the door. They'd be expecting that. Instead, he sprang directly toward Kanpar. The foremost of seconds cried out, throwing up ineffectual hands as 100 pounds of wolfhound crashed into him, throwing him to the stone floor. Tensoon heard sharp cracks as Kanpar's delicate bones shattered, and Kanpar screamed in a very un-Khandra-like way. That seems appropriate, Tensoon thought, shoving his way through the ranks of the seconds, shattering bones. Honestly, what kind of vain fool wears a true body made of crystal? Many of the Khandra didn't know how to react. Others, especially the younger ones, had spent a lot of time around humans on contracts, and they were more accustomed to chaos. These scattered, leaving their elder companions sitting on the benches in shock. Tensoon darted between bodies, heading toward the doors. The guards beside the podium, the ones who would have shattered his bones, rushed to Kanpar's side, their filial sense of duty overriding their desire to prevent his escape. Besides, they must have seen the crowd clogging the doorway and assumed that Tensoon would be slowed. As soon as he reached the crowd, Tensoon jumped again. Vin had required him to be able to leap incredible heights, and he'd practiced with many different muscle structures. This jump wouldn't have impressed Vin. Tensoon no longer had the blessing of potency he'd stolen from Ursur. But it was more than enough to let him clear the watching Khandra. Some cried out, and he landed in a pocket of open space, then leaped again toward the open cavern beyond.
No,
he heard echoing from the Trustworn.
Go after him.
Tensoon took off in a loping dash down one of the corridors. He ran quickly, far more quickly than anything bipedal could have managed. With his canine body, he hoped he'd be able to outrun even Khandra bearing the blessing of potency. Farewell, my home, Tensoon thought, leaving the main cavern behind. And farewell to what little honor I had left. Part 3. The Broken Skies.
Ferrokemi, it should be noted, is the power of balance. Of the three powers, only it was known to men before the conflict between preservation and ruin came to a head. In Ferrokemi, power is stored up, then later drawn upon. There is no loss of energy, just a changing of the time and rate of its use.
34. Marsh strode into the small town. Workers atop the makeshift gate, which looked flimsy enough that a determined knock would send it toppling, froze in place. Ash sweepers noticed him pass with shock, then horror. It was odd how they watched, too terrified to flee. Or at least too terrified to be